On Radio Catskill, it's no joke.
Welcome to the Local Edition, news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Coming up in the second half of the program, I'm speaking with Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger. Former state senator in New York representing our listening area. I have lots to talk about, so that is coming up in the second half of the program. But first, what we do on a Thursday is we check in with Wayne County. And the Wayne County Area Agency on Aging partners with Diakon Community Services to sponsor the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, or RSVP. It's America's largest volunteer network for people 55 and older. And it gives folks volunteer opportunities that enrich their lives. Here to tell us more, it's Dawn Hotelling, RSVP coordinator, Diakon Community Services. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off by saying, well, and how long has Wayne County worked with Diakon and the RSVP program?
Wayne County has partnered with us since 2018, so we're about 5 years now.
Great. And so what's the whole idea behind helping seniors become volunteers? How do you approach this? What kinds of things do they volunteer to do? How does it work?
Well, the basic philosophy is studies have shown and is linked volunteering to an improved quality of life for seniors, stronger social networks, and increased levels of physical activity. So it helps them with getting over, different social isolation, and they're less likely to have known diseases that seniors may occur within seniors. Basically, what happens is anyone who's 55 and older can enroll as a volunteer, and our focus is helping seniors to age independently and age in place. So a lot of our volunteers do help with the area agencies on aging. They help to deliver meals to the homebound seniors. They help out in the senior centers with health and wellness programs and activities, also at most of the local food pantries. So that's a lot of what our volunteers do.
That's very symmetrical. It's very interesting that comes back around like that, this is a program that in part comes out of the Area Agency on Aging, but you've got senior volunteers volunteering to support the Area Agency on the Aging and, their fellow community members.
Absolutely.
What are...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I think that when people get to the point of retirement, a lot of times they want to give back to their community. It does come full fold around.
What are some other things that folks do through the RSVP program? What are some examples of the range of types of things that they do?
I did provide you, with a large part of what our volunteer base is with the area agencies on aging. We are connected with other community organizations, such as Serving Seniors Incorporated, which they become volunteer ombudsmen, so they can advocate for seniors. We also partner with the American Red Cross, Pike County Hands of Hope, trying to think of a few different ones that we, Salvation Army, Honesdale Extension, we're also connected with, Ladore Camp Retreat and Conference Center. So there are a variety of different opportunities. It's not only, we are close with the Area Agency on Aging, but there are definitely other opportunities out there.
And you did say that it's for folks that are 55 or older. Are there other requirements or qualifications needed to volunteer?
There really aren't any other requirements. As far as enrolling, when they do enroll with us, they are required to complete a state of Pennsylvania volunteer background check that is free. They can either perform that themselves and bring it into us, or we can do that here when we meet with them.
All right.
And then we ask for two non-family member references.
And I know in the RSVP program on our side of the river in Sullivan County, that's one I'm more familiar with. The folks, I think they get like compensation for their mileage and things like that. Do you have a system for that in place?
Yes, they absolutely do. For the most part, they are reimbursed by the county. For instance, meal delivery drivers are reimbursed by the county for their during meal delivery route miles. And then when funds are available, RSVP will reimburse for their miles from their home to the station and then station to home.
Great. And is there anything else about the program that you want folks to know?
In particular, no, it's just we're always looking for volunteers. The community is always in need, and there's always something for someone, for anyone. With any type of interest. And if it's something that we don't do, I can certainly connect them with something, you know, with another organization that maybe may have something that they're interested in.
Right. And again, just to go circle back to what you said at the beginning, this is something that benefits not just the community, but it benefits the individuals who participate, you know, because it gives them something to do. It lends some value to their time.
Absolutely. One thing I actually would like to throw in there that I just thought of,
yeah.
We also do, we have a senior chat program, which is a calling program where we have volunteers who call out to seniors who'd like someone to chat with once a week. So if anyone knows someone, they can refer a person that would like to get phone calls, or if they would like to make calls themselves, to certainly get in touch with me. And we can get them started with that.
Oh.
That's been going very well.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And this is my first time hearing about that. Are those RSVP volunteers who make those calls?
Yes, they are. And we use a proxy phone number, so no one's personal information is given out. And then basically we try to connect people who have similar interests. That way they have something to talk about.
Yeah.
And then they basically decide, you know, we ask that they call and speak like at least once a week for about 15 to 20 minutes, but then they can decide from there. And it has been going very well with the people who have been matched. So that's definitely been going very well.
And again,
I feel like there's probably a lot more people out there, though, that would like to have a chat.
Someone. Yeah,
this is
really interesting. So again, you said if people are interested, so I know that there's more information about RSVP at the county website at waynecountypa.gov. Is that where people should go if they want to be the recipient of these calls? How should they get involved with that?
They can certainly go to the Wayne County PA website under volunteer program, and my information is there, or they can also go to diacon.org. It's diacon.org, and then follow Community Services RSVP, and they can also find my contact information there as well.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you so much for telling. Have you heard any feedback from people, both whether they're participants in RSVP or like in this chat program, people are recipients of the call? Do you have any anecdotes or any examples of what people have to say about their participation?
Oh, absolutely. I've gotten calls from both volunteers and clients, just so happy to have someone to talk to, someone who's kind of outside of their regular circle of people. It's someone that they can just become friends with somewhat, you know, over the phone. Volunteers have also felt the same way, to be honest. So nothing but positive feedback. And I mean, to be honest with you, there have been times, too, where the calls have come in handy in a way of a check-in. You know, if someone's not answering, then the volunteer will report that back, and then I can then make the call to whoever need be to make sure that the person is all right. So it also serves that purpose as well.
Wow, absolutely. Well, Dawn, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We've been talking to Dawn Hotelling, RSVP coordinator with Diacon Community Services. Dawn, thank you.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
This is a local edition. And again, for more information about being in the RSVP program or taking part of these services is at waynecountypa.gov. That's waynecountypa.gov. Also, there's a Diakon Community Services info at diakondiakon.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of two Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Hi, I'm Mimi Bradley, Radio Catskill's Development Manager. When you include Radio Catskill in your estate plan, your generosity will provide a lasting legacy that will affect thousands of other listeners for years to come. The rewards go beyond the tax savings that can result from your gift. Through planned giving, it is possible to make gifts to Radio Catskill you might have previously thought impossible. Call me on 845-482-4141 to have a conversation about your sound legacy for Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the Local Edition, news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Jason Dolan. Right now we're going to turn our attention to Ulster County. I spoke with Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger on Friday. We're bringing you that interview right now. It was our first time talking to her on Radio Catskill since she was elected Ulster County Executive in November. She took office earlier this year. We caught up on some of the biggest stories that have been going on in Ulster County under her purview in the last couple months. Here's what it sounded like. Welcome back to the Local Edition, Jen Metzger.
Thank you, Jason. So glad to be back.
So it's been a while since we talked. How are things in Ulster County?
Things are going great. You know, I'm now a little over two months into the new job as county executive, but it's I'm really enjoying the work and, you know, to be able to serve the county I love in this way. I'm, of course, still love Sullivan County and appreciate all the counties I represented when I was in the Senate. But yeah, it's wonderful to be in this position and to be, you know, working on all of the issues that I really care about. It's a great seat from which to do that.
You've had some big issues that you've had to work on even in just your first months. I know that you've been working on the Central Hudson electrical issue. To remind listeners, last year, New York State Public Service Commission actually faulted Central Hudson for problems with billing, leading to errors for thousands of customers. As I understand it, those problems were related to estimated billing rather than actual meter reading. I heard you on the program LaVos talking about this, which we air a weekly recap of.
Okay.
So what I'm wondering is, has there been a real resolution on the Central Hudson issue for customers? Where are you in the county now with Central Hudson?
So just to put it in context, so Central Hudson introduced a new customer billing system, which was a big undertaking, and they really, for lack, you know, I just call it for what it was, they just totally botched it. They didn't do the advanced preparation that they needed to do. They didn't do the testing of the necessary testing. There were all of these red flags from their staff that, you know, it wasn't ready for rollout. And even after, you know, after they rolled out the new billing system, there were still, and this is all documented in the State Department of Public Services investigation, and management just, you know, steamrolled over staff's complaints, just ignored them. And this problem, this billing fiasco, has been going on for a year and a half, okay? And it was completely exacerbated by, we also had very, you know, basically prices for fossil fuel related energy skyrocketed because of, you know, the war in Ukraine. So it was kind of a double whammy for customers and very hard to unravel the effects of each of them. But people were getting
crazy bills of thousands and thousands of dollars. They were being told that they were, you know, they were using electric, and this gets to the estimated billing part. Their usage was, you know, much higher than it had been in the past. They were having huge amounts of money automatically withdrawn from their accounts by Central Hudson. I mean, it was really chaotic and stressful for you know, thousands and thousands of customers. Part of the problem is the practice of estimated billing. Central Hudson does that. I do not believe NYSEG does it. Does NYSEG estimate billing every other month? I know that NYSEG has had its own problems as well with its billing system. I don't. NYSEG, I know it covers Sullivan County and only a very small part of Ulster County. We're predominantly Central Hudson, but you know, Central Hudson has been some years ago. They were forced by the Public Service Commission to bill customers monthly. They had always billed every other month. But just so that customers could better understand and kind of keep on top of what was happening on their bills, they were ordered to bill customers every month. But what Central Hudson has done is, instead of reading the meter every month, they continued to just read it every other month and then estimate the usage every other month. And when they switched over to the billing system, there were just huge problems with the estimated billing. It was just entirely inaccurate. And that was the cause of a lot of the problems for many customers. But there were other problems unrelated to estimated billing. Anyone that was in a community solar project people were not getting billed like for 6-8 months and then getting like, you know, a giant bill. And so there were a lot of issues with their billing rollout. And frankly, I mean, if this were, you know, a competitive marketplace, this company would have been out of business a long time ago. You know, it's a regulated monopoly. It's just outrageous that the problem has been allowed to continue for as long as it has. So DPS has done this investigation. CEO was ousted. A new CEO recently was appointed. I've been meeting with the Public Service Commission, with the Department of Public Service staff. I also met with the new president, demanding that they end estimated billing immediately, and like communicate with every single customer, provide basically, you know, an accurate description of what's been happening to their bills over the last year and a half, what they've been billed, what they should have been billed, and kind of, you know, the status of their billing to date. But I continue to push the Public Service Commission. I sent another letter to them recently to undertake a prudence review and penalties. Shareholders need to be made responsible for this, you know. So we're still seeking justice, and we're still waiting for, you know, a complete fix to the problem. So it's ongoing, but we're pushing as hard as we can.
And, you know, the funny thing is, when I heard about this story, what it brought to mind was what the whole nation witnessed in Texas, I think it was, last year. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, like, well, that's such a deregulated state and such a deregulated environment that nothing like that, you know, is happening in New York State. But it kind of was.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, these are companies that, you know, actually years ago, back when, you know, the Public Service Commission was reviewing for approval a takeover of Central Hudson by a Canadian multinational, you know, we fought that hard, but unfortunately that went through. It's owned by, you know, Central Hudson is now owned by Fortis. NYSEG is owned by you know, Avangrid, a Spanish company, you know, a lot of our utilities are owned by multinational companies based elsewhere. And, you know, I think that this is a basic need, electricity service, and it's really troubling to have something so important as that, you know, ultimately affected by decisions in other countries as well. So there's some serious accountability issues, I feel, there.
Earlier this month, Ulster County's longtime finance commissioner, Bert Gulnick, resigned amid allegations that he stole thousands of dollars from a private swim club. He was a treasurer for that club. As I understand it, when these allegations reached you, you requested Gulnick's leave of absence. As the matter gets looked into, he in turn resigned. You requested the state comptroller and the county district attorney investigate this issue and the county's finances. And I understand those investigations were underway at least as of 2 weeks ago. I'm wondering, first, is all of that correct? And second, where are we with these investigations? Have they concluded? Are they ongoing?
Yeah, that is correct. Mr. Gulnick has, you know, he was the finance commissioner for the county for 12 years. And, you know, through basically, you know, all county, the previous county executives. And I was alarmed, as were many people, about the accusations. And I invited the state comptroller's office to come investigate because I really want them to do a forensic investigation of the county finances. He's been there forever. And, you know, it's a huge budget, and it's just very important that that not only we make sure that there was no wrongdoing as far as the county finances go, but I also feel like this is an opportunity. Look, I'm a new county executive. It's a time to start fresh, make sure that we have all the internal controls we need to be in place to secure our county finances and taxpayer dollars. So I'm seeing this really as it's greatly disappointing what the former finance commissioner did with this, you know, private pool club. Hopefully it didn't extend to the county government, but we're gonna get to the bottom of it, and we're gonna make sure that, you know, going forward, we have all the controls in place we need.
More recently, in the Daily Freeman, I see they're reporting that a second woman has come forward to sue Gulnick, claiming that he created a hostile work environment, treating her with discrimination, harassment, retaliation. I'm wondering, are you aware of this? Is this a county issue? Was that hostile workplace a county workplace?
Yeah. So again, there were two lawsuits. Both of them happened before I was here. The people who, you know, the people that are initiating the lawsuits, you know, aren't here, weren't here when I came into office. So these are things that happened in the past, but they are, yeah, the county is named in the suit. So, you know, that's ongoing, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But these are lawsuits. I can't really speak to them, but all I can say is generally, I mean, my top priority as the new, you know, county executive here is to make sure that we have the utmost transparency and accountability in government. And I've been, you know, really, you know, prioritizing that from day one. So, my commitment to our residents here.
Well, and that fits in with what you're saying about getting a clean start. I'm just wondering, and if there's even any part of this you could talk about, if it was the case, are there other changes that you feel need to be made in the county structure or who's employed at the county to make sure you're getting that clean start?
Right. Well, and this is something I talked about a lot in my campaign. You know, Ulster County government has 26 departments, between 13 and 1400 employees. It's a large operation. I want to make sure that we have, you know, that these departments are not operating as like independent fiefdoms that were, you know, basically, you know, I am bringing a new level of coordination, let's say, among the departments and a new level of communication with them. And again, this is an opportunity to, you know, make sure we have all of the processes, procedures we need in place, not just, you know, for transparency and accountability, but also for efficient government. So this is, you know, this has been this and will continue to be a big focus of my work.
Okay, and the last thing that I want to mention here, and it's worth, I want to point this out just for listeners because I had to kind of reorient and realize this, because last year's election season, special elections and elections in New York State were crazy, and something that I totally forgot was that it was a special election for you to become county executive. So you've now been endorsed by Ulster County Democrats to run as the county executive. Is that this year's election?
It is. I'm on the Democratic and Working Family Party's lines. I don't, however, appear to have a Republican opponent. You can't know until petitioning is done, but the Republican convention did not nominate a candidate to run against me in this race. So we'll see what happens. But I am completing the last year of our now congressman, former county executive Pat Ryan's term, and then we'll have another 4-year term if elected in November. But I assume I will be, certainly if there's not an opponent.
Well, like you said, there's some time between now and then, and we'll be keeping an eye on it and reporting for listeners as well.
But exactly.
It's been great talking.
I'm knocking on wood as we speak.
There you go. So is there anything else that you want folks to know before we go? We talked about a lot.
No, I don't think so. I'm happy to come back and check in. We're working on a lot of different things. I've really prioritized affordable housing, mental health, and some other issues. So there's certainly lots to talk about. But we can save that for another show.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Take care.
Talking to Jen Metzger, Ulster County Executive. And that's not all of the conversation that we had. Be listening Saturday morning for the portion of the conversation related to Jen Metzger's ongoing efforts to battle climate change, her take on climate change items in the New York State budget, and her response to the Norfolk Southern derailment, the train derailment in Ohio, and the regulations that she'd like to see in place for trains in our area and around the country. For that, be listening to Radio Chatskill on Saturday morning. And this full interview, the full uncut interview, will be up on our website, wjffradio.org, before too long. So look for it there. That's going to do it for the local edition tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Keep on listening at wjffradio.org, our website, or on your smart device or your smart speaker. Just ask it to play Radio Catskill. And stay right where you are, because John Gordon is up next with Ramble Tamble. I've been your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Mimi Bradley, Radio Catskill's Development Manager. Did you know that you are our largest and most reliable source of funding? It's true, and there are many ways you can support us. Include Radio Catskill in your will. Make a gift of stock. Set up a charitable annuity or trust. Make an IRA charitable distribution. Make a donation in memory or in honor of a loved one. I can give you all the details. Call me on 845-482-4141 or email mimi at wjffradio.org.
Support comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. Tavern on Main, a neighborhood bar and restaurant on Main Street in Jeffersonville, New York, featuring local American fare, specialty cocktails, craft beers, and Sunday brunch. Menu and hours online at tavernonmainny.com. And from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello. This is Radio Catskill. Public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Listen local.